The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town.
Which side are you on? They say in Harlan County there are no neutrals there. You'll either be a Union man or a thug for J.H. Blair. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
Where did that come from? Anyway, we're back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guest, Trentis Evans. And before the top of the hour break, Trentis, you were talking about how these FBI guys and the professors there were the war protesters of the 60s. And I thought that was a good time to interject here. Have you seen the Jim Hoff Gateway Pundit report that was released day before yesterday titled 15 Facts on the Dozens of Federal Operatives Who Infiltrated the Trump Crowds on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol? Have you seen that article?
I haven't seen it yet. You know what's funny is all this stuff comes in. I was at my son's golf tournament today, you know, being a regular insurrectionist, as things we do in our spare time. So I haven't had a chance to look at that. I was buried in legal. I was on Diamond and Silk last night. You know, rest in peace, Diamond. And I had a, you know, prayer group and, you know, just it was a busy evening. So I haven't had a chance. I've heard about it. You tell me, how good is
it? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but one snippet. I guess there was a contributor, Cara Castronova. She released the whistleblower documents, a text message. Yeah, FBI informant James Knowles' communications with the FBI handlers. And from what I depict out of it here, is it says that, hold on just a second, let me scroll up. The FBI infiltrated the Proud Boys, and their informant exonerated the Proud Boys of any conspiracy. That's just number one out of 15. Now, I forgot to mention the phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. Already got a couple of callers on the line. You want to finish with your thought there on the FBI before and tell us how corrupt they've become before I start taking callers. Go ahead.
I'll break it down in a minute and a half, and let's take those callers, absolutely. So, on the finishing of the thought, that is the America that we live in today. And you have a good brand, but the problem is that the really good people can't get advancement because they don't have the right ideology, just like what the military's doing. It's the woke ideology. Mm-hmm. So just like you have the most corrupt judge that's been in the most trouble for the most bias, is Beryl Howe. She's the Chief Justice in District 1, D.C. So take a look into that. Those facts stand. And it's indisputable because it is the fact of the record. But that's the way it is. So now, anyway, moving on back to... And Kara Castronova is a fantastic journalist. I have worked with Kara Castronova now for, oh gosh, it's been well over a year. We coordinate on a lot of work. I share with her. She shares with me. We are working on projects now, and I'm God bless her for what she does. She's actually founded an organization supporting this, which is how we got to know each other. And we've done a lot of work, Condemned USA and CAP and some of these other organizations, the David over at Stop Hate, so many people that have just gotten in this fight, rolled up their sleeves and said, you know, you're bigger than us, you're badder than us, but in a true David and Goliath fashion, a representative of the American spirit, they have not backed down, they have stood their ground, and the American people just keep coming. So, at any rate, okay, I'll wrap it with that.
That's okay. I want to interject one of before I start taking callers here, she in the report, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but she mentions Jeremy Brown, who is a Green Beret, former Republican candidate for Congress. And evidently, you know, he is one of these people that's unfortunate in a D.C. jail or was. The reason he's in there is because, the reason he's in there is because he refused to be an informant for the FBI. They approached him beforehand, and because he wouldn't do it, then they arrested him. So anyway, I'm not going to share the whole thing. I need to open up. The phone lines are open. I want to start taking some phone callers here. So let's go to the phones. Let's go to Bruce in Texas. You're on with Michael and Trentis. Bruce, what's on your mind? You got a question for Trentis or a comment? Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a little comment and the very chilling description that he gave. He's very eloquent. He puts you into situations. So, man, kudos for getting this guest. Man, what an eye opener! I believe we all probably had an idea of what it was like, but the way he described it just draws a picture. I mean, you can make a movie out of this,
They may very well do that, and that's a thought. You know that, Turnus? It really is. Yeah. Go ahead, Bruce. You had something else you wanted to add?
Okay. Yeah. And one thing, you were detained and or booked in Karn City, so I take it you're from South Texas.
I am. Yeah, I live in Canyon Lake, Texas, proudly. I always tell my enemies I live at 451 Watts Lane. Come on by.
Okay.
And my friends too.
All right, sounds good. It just I hope whoever you're in contact with, I hope they listen to this show and other shows like it on RBN. It's been an educational process for me for maybe 10 years. And even going back further, and now and again, I still listen to Alex Jones and what have you, because going back to Ruby Ridge, and if we know what happened there.
Yep.
David Koresh, Oklahoma City, and how that case was handled, and who handled it, the current attorney general, all right? And so when January 6th was going to happen, I had an inclination to go, but something told me not to. And it's a damn shame. We should be able to be heard and assemble peacefully. And, remember Occupy, no one was really arrested during the Occupy movement. Or how about the BLM violence? But, this tells you exactly where our government is at this time. So, we need to fix it, but we need to be very careful and not naive.
Let me say to your point, I speak a lot about the Occupy movement. And one of the things that a lot of Americans don't remember, and they always go, oh, yeah, I remember that. Wisconsin, 2011. The Democrats and the liberals did not like that there was going to be a vote on the unions in the Republican-controlled House. They stormed the Capitol. They broke windows. They went through windows. They fought their way past police. And they held that in an Occupy movement scenario for weeks on end. There was actually video. I actually have the video of a lady that was arrested. And she was bragging that she had been arrested then with a $50 ticket, a civil disobedience ticket, 13 times. She said, I don't know, maybe 12 or 13 times. And she was headed back in. And this had happened over and over. I mean, but they had literally thousands of people took the building, stayed there, and they stayed for weeks. They did an estimated $7.5 million of damage to the Wisconsin State Capitol. And nobody was charged with anything like what we're seeing January 6th. So there you have that.
Yeah, I'll just let you go with this. When I was following the Occupy Wall Street movement, there was a video on YouTube. It was taken with a cell phone or a digital camera of a black woman and other people protesting foreclosures on the steps of the Federal Reserve. She was hit with the stun gun. You can hear it zapping by Federal Reserve police and zip tied and hauled on. And that was taken down off of YouTube. But I thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Bruce. Thank you so much for calling in. All right, let's take another one, Trennis, shall we? Let's go to Mark.
Oh,
Anna. Mark, you're on with Michael and Trennis. Go ahead. What's on your mind? Mark?
Okay, so kind of like what the last caller was saying about not being naive. Now, listening to the story of your guest, I truly believe that he's a good person at heart. And I truly believe he had good intentions, just like everybody else. Well, most people, everybody else showed up. So obviously we know it was a setup. So my contention is there's a couple things that, well, maybe the story is not exactly, and it's not his fault. It's because he's still naive on a couple of things. Ashley Babbitt was not a real person that they killed. They killed a persona. That video went away on YouTube because they don't want people to analyze it. If somebody would have got shot in the neck, freaking, that's why the cops, if you can remember what that video looks like, that's why the cops that were behind her, they didn't react because they knew it was fake. It would have blown freaking through her neck, and they would have been blood splattered all over that hallway if she would have got shot in the neck.
Well,
that was a tube of fake blood pumped out of a freaking backpack.
Okay, Mark, can I interject something? Wait, stop. Let me interject something on that, and then I want Trentis to give his thoughts as well. Is that if that's the case, then why is it that Ashley Babbitt's mother is making visits to the White House in protest, and she actually got arrested, I think, about 3 weeks ago. Are you saying that Ashley Babbitt didn't die, or it wasn't actually? What are you saying here, Mark?
Okay, what I'm saying is, okay, they had me fooled. I heard it on the radio, and I was like, wow, that's crazy. I got down on my knees in a cornfield and I prayed for the soul. The next day when I heard freaking somebody else call in and they analyzed it and then I went to look at the video, I'm like, damn, they got me too. I was fooled. The point is, Alex Jones and Donald Trump were also part of the setup big. You guys might not want to realize it. You might never come to... Once the date was announced, because like the last caller said, oh, you know, I got a gut feeling. So I was like, no, this has got to be a setup. I just knew my gut feeling. I went and looked, Illuminati playing cards. It showed that this thing was going to be a setup. Then there were other people, I'm pretty sure these videos are pulled now. There were other people that they're like psychics. They're like these nerdy people that freaking like, they take a date and they look at like, what position? Well, anyway, Mercury is the star or the planet of the message. He's like the messenger, and it was like in conjunct with like Uranus. Okay, so what does that mean? I'm not a psychic, and I don't follow astrology that much, so it's hard for me to explain. I'm telling you, everything about that day was a 100% setup cluster F, and all the people were involved in it. They should have known, or they were definitely involved, and they would have known. Alex Jones is all into this occult stuff. Like I called in a while back and said, this whole thing about him being sued is a setup. Okay, everybody else that went, they're being investigated and they're being arrested. So how come some of these other big players that help organize this, how come they're not arrested? So I just want you to think about
Well, Owen Schroyer was arrested, and he works with Alex Jones. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, Trentis, do you have any thoughts about this?
When it comes to the video of Ashley Babbitt, I've seen more video of that. Look, I've told you, so because we've been investigators for so many of these cases, and I've had access to footage, I've seen that from more angles than the public has seen it from, and a hell of a lot more angles than what YouTube has available. So let me share with you this on the, we've actually watched the bullet. You can't see the actual bullet, but you can see the bullet glint a piece of furniture that's stacked up at the door there, and then contact Ashley. So it's a hell of a lot of theatrics for something there. There's actually another shooter in the background available that doesn't actually fire, to our knowledge. But as far as it goes with Ashley Babbitt, I absolutely believe from the video that I've seen evidence of, and we've been able to slow things down, that woman is dead. I have met with her husband. I have met with Mickey. I've talked to Mickey regularly, her mother. I know the tragedy that's going on and what's happening and what it's doing to that family. And I just urge people to consider that. I know that there's that video out there. I saw it, but I don't know how much firearms training you have or how much firearms usage you're familiar with, but it depends on what kind of round you're firing. If you're firing something high capacity, if you're firing from a 9mm, if you're firing something that is, you know, what depends on what the head style is for that. I mean, you know, it can fragment. There's different designs, and you have to understand what that is, what that's about. So it does glint a piece of furniture on the way there. That absolutely happens. We can see that piece of furniture where the bullet strikes it on the way there. We can see the little explosion of wood particles. So see Gary McBride's videos on M5 News, and it might change your mind. Like I said, I'm very sure. But one thing that I'm certain of is that all of the people that have had questions about the Ashley Babbitt scenario that have seen any of those videos, it's quickly quelled that. And then even if they were still left with question, I ask that Americans at least consider this. Let's just pretend, let's think for a moment that if there's a chance that even if you're not 100% convinced, and you're just partially convinced, or you leave it into their spectrum of it's possible one way or the other, there's a grieving mother and family and husband that are without their loved one. And it's very painful for this woman, if that's the case, if we just work from that perspective, that it would be very painful for this woman to hear that that's the memory of her daughter. So she's been there every night at a vigil outside the D.C. jail, standing in the freezing cold. She's been attacked by Antifa. She's been attacked by other people that were just trying to lay roses on the grounds of the Capitol. She has been arrested for this. I had the lawyers there waiting for her. I was on the phone. That was one of the first phone calls. Mel Hawley, that runs the podcast there, called me and said, "Oh my God, they're arresting Mickey." And I was like, "Okay, tell me what we need, where, who's arresting her?" We had the lawyers in action in D.C. That's part of what we do. You know, we're helping these people out, all of the people involved in January 6th. Condemned USA has a broad reach in what we do to help so many people. But I do ask you to think in those terms. Just imagine if it's your loved one and there's a conspiracy theory going on. It's bad enough that that person would be gone. But I put it on your heart to at least consider that there's a possibility of that there's other information, especially since I'm telling you there's a lot of video you haven't seen. And I've seen it, and I've watched it in slow motion. We brought it down to speeds of frames as slow as we can get it, where it's almost still, so at least enough where we can see, we were able to see that bullet through glass breaking that piece of furniture leg.
What piece of furniture is this?
That's stacked up behind the door. There's furniture,
because from what I've seen, the guy, his instinct was to point the gun at her, because that's his instinct, is the training. And then he forgot, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to shoot this lady. He turns the gun at a 90-degree angle and fires down the hallway. So anything that you think you may have saw, I would contend that it was digitally put in there after the fact, after they scrubbed it off YouTube, and then they wanted to reinstate and let the video come out to let other people see what.
All right, well, we could debate this all night, but thanks. Well, we don't have to convince you, Mark. You can believe what you want to believe. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Shall we move on? Let's take another phone call. Let's go to Francis in North Carolina. Francis, you're on with Michael and Trinis. What's on your mind, girl?
Hey, fellas.
Hi.
Oh, goodness me. For one thing, there's actually two questions I have. First of all, for the folks that was out on the grounds or whatever that was doing the prayer vigil or whatever the case was, that was mentioned about earlier. Were they sitting down or standing up when they had gotten rounds shot into amidst the group itself?
Well, they were standing up, and the rounds were fired from a height from up at the bleacher, which leaves only the exposure of head and shoulders. And those non-lethal or less than lethal munitions are designed to be fired at torso level and below. And that's how the instructions work for those. MPD has a history of this. You can find articles on our website clearly depicting what MPD has done throughout time. Essentially, you're talking about an organization that Metropolitan Police Department, for some folks, they're just, you know what I'm saying, MPD in D.C. The MPD has been rated the ninth most violent police force in the history of, in the nation, while they're nowhere near the ninth largest city. But that's just one of the scenarios that goes along with them. But I'm trying to understand. There were a lot of people kneeling in prayer. There were a lot of people standing. There were a lot of people singing. They were singing "God Bless America." That was a peaceful crowd until that happened.
Well, in that case, they have grounds to sue then, because they were assaulted in a very violent fashion, regardless of what type of munition was fired in amidst their area that they were at there on the grounds, for that matter. So, quite frankly, they can have their own countersuit, for that matter, against the police department for that action.
I agree with you, but the problem is they charged them with criminal charges, ma'am. So while you're facing criminal charges, good luck filing a civil suit.
Well, that's true. However, if they take it to court and say, you know, in the process of fighting against criminal charges, they can say, well, fine, that's been done away with or negated. Yeah. Guess what? We are filing a countersuit in light of damage or harm that was done to the people that was not doing anything of a harmful nature. Now,
it's a fantastic theory, except you have to go to court in D.C.
Yeah, you got a point there. That can really screw it up. Excuse my choice of words.
Sure does.
All right, I'm just warning both of you. We got a break coming up here shortly. You have another question, though, Francis. So I'll hold you over if I need to. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, very short, sweet, and brief is that in the current situation, since you were there reporting what was going on and trying to be helpful for that matter, I guess the question would generally be, what is the current, I don't know if you're serving time right now for what happened, or if you are being released and not charged with anything. Are you currently a free individual that don't have to worry about any further litigation on the behalf of the District of Criminals?
Absolutely not a free individual. So I have 20 days of prison to coming for a first offense misdemeanor of knowingly entering or remaining in a restricted building, which is glorified trespassing. While the same, think about this, judges for the exact same, let me paint this to you. A man that was out on assault, he assaulted officers and then burned $34,000 worth of federal property with a gas can. While he's on pretrial release for that crime, assaults yet another civilian, another officer, and then interferes with an officer and obstructing them in their lawful duty, et cetera, and then gets 3 years of probation for that crime with a criminal history, by the way. I have no criminal history. I was helping the police inside a building, and then I get, guess what I've got? 5 years of probation, 20 days in jail, and a $5,600 fine. Sounds fair, right?
Not the least.
Now you're talking about the other person was a member of Antifa. That's why.
Yeah, it sounds like the scales of justice have been totally perverted for that matter, and quite frankly, sounds like you have grounds for a class action lawsuit encounter.
No, that's correct, except here's the problem. Where in D.C.?
I know. You basically probably have to take it outside of the District Criminals to do it.
I don't think Donald Trump called it the swamp for nothing. Go ahead.
No.
That's just my thought.
Too. Well, think in these terms is that you have diversity jurisdiction would enable you to bring some matters outside. Had the alleged incident not happened in D.C., we did file a Fifth Circuit case, and we can talk about this later, what the Select Committee did to me. They altered timestamps and video and so forth and the order of events. They actually changed the timestamp in a video of me reading that dispersal order that I told you about that I was reading that was actually at 4:20 in the afternoon, and they said it was at 2:24, and they only put the part in there, one little clip from it, and then added it and made it look like I was trying to gin up a crowd to do something. So we filed a civil suit against them. Yeah, but these are the
You're
problems.
You're talking forgery now.
You can't get the thing out of D.C.
You're talking about forgery now. They like racking it up, don't they?
No. It's fraud. They fraudulently altered video. They altered evidence.
Yeah.
They tampered with evidence and played it to the American people in their June 9th nonsensical Nazi-esque show trial.
This is why
there's a weaponization committee. You'll see all this coming. Hold on to your hats, folks. It's about to be a hell of a ride.
I'm speechless because that should not be occurring. That is a total perversion of justice for that matter. Not to mention the fact that you're talking about politicians that were appointed or chosen to supposedly support the Constitution Bill of Rights. They're basically adulterating and saying, F you. So, for their own greed.
Well, those are people that, in answer to your question there, these people, these politicians, they took an oath of office. That's a three-party contract. And I think for most of us, we understand that when they did that, they put their hand on a Bible, and they swore under an oath that they would do something for their constituents. That's the we the people part. So they had a contract between themselves, we the people, and God. And they're in violation of all three parts of the contract and have been for a very long time.
Yeah, that's what they're showing their hypocrisy, especially when they start using a sacred writing or whatever to supposedly swear upon an oath of and basically prove that they're actually not of that faith, but they're actually proving that they are actually Satanists. Well, go figure, you know? Hey.
Well, there's a shock.
A shock? Are you kidding me?
I'm facetious. I'm being facetious with you. Yeah, no, I get it. You're right. I don't disagree with you. Look, we've seen enough, I think, to know that when President Trump called these things a cabal, it was very obvious. And it seems strange to me to hear those kinds of words until I became very aware. But your other caller actually mentioned, he left out poor LaVoy Finicum earlier when he was talking about, some of these events. But, I've spoken to Jeanette Finicum quite a bit and his wife, and I tell you, that whole horror story is another. But there's a Supreme Court case going on that in that state right now on LaVoy Finicum stuff that I was actually just involved in here recently. So there's some more to come there on LaVoy Finicum, hopefully.
I certainly hope so, because that fella was outright murdered. who was assassinated.
Yes,
period. I've seen the video.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. I mean, they set it up, and he was only doing what needed to be done legally, and they basically took him out, period.
Boy,
so that,
well, you know why they took LaVoy Finnegan but not Clive and Bundy? Clive and Bundy was kind of a little bit more brashish and brutish with the, I'm Clive and Bundy, I'll get my gun, you know. And he's you know, really refined his act quite a bit, and I'm a Clive and Bundy fan. However, LaVoy Finnegan was very soft, monotone, very soft-spoken, very well-spoken, and spoke highly and talked about the Constitution and people's rights, and they didn't like that. And Jeanette Finnegan actually called me about a year ago, well, it's been over a year now, and said, you know, Trentis, I've been seeing some of your work and what you're doing and talking about the Constitution and educating people and speaking around the country, and she said, I'm really worried about you. Do you know what path you're on? She said, do you know my husband, LaVoy? And I said, I didn't know him. But she was so kind and gracious. She sent me all of the LaVoy tapes, even the ones that hadn't been seen. And I was able to see some stuff. And I just melted when I was sitting and watching hours and hours and hours of LaVoy Finnegan and his chats. And he is a fantastic individual, was a fantastic pragmatic constitutionalist, and understood what was wrong so long ago, and now here we are facing this all over again. And it's just, it's the same three-letter agency dressed up for a new play. Same actors, new play. And if you look at what's happened here in January 6th,
and let's not forget Randy Weaver's wife. Let's not forget Randy Weaver's wife. Okay.
There you go.
I got that story up front and personal, right in the front seat of the John Stat Miller's car on the way to New Hampshire with Randy. You know, so this is nothing new. I mean, you look at all these events that go back, and it seems, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it just seems that the infiltration has become more and more increasingly corrupt through all these alphabet soup agencies over the years. And it's to the point where now it's literally they don't even try to hide it anymore. You know, they just try to gaslight you.
Power grab.
They're in your face,
right?
Period.
They try to gaslight you after the event, right? And claim you didn't see what you saw with your own eyes, that sort of thing, right?
Well, yeah. This is where we are.
Anyway.
Well, aside from
here's a fun one.
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. Go ahead. It's only my show. You guys go ahead and talk. I'll just take a nap.
Oh,
go ahead.
Mike, could you quit interrupting? We're trying to have a conversation. Hey, can somebody mute this mic guy? All right.
Well, yeah. By the way, just so you know, we're skipping the break, okay? So go ahead. Have at it.
Now, this same time, they've gotten to the point where they're just doing it flat out in your face, and they either present it as entertainment or whatever the case is, so it's tantalizing, whatever have you, and say, well, this is the way it actually happened. Excuse me, but until you show me a different perspective, I am not going to swallow the spoon-fed garbage that you're trying to shove down my throat. I have seen this garbage go on for decades in life, since even before 2000, and it's been one snowball to hell and back over and over again, and nothing changes. They're all bought and paid for it from A to Z. It's absurd. And so here's the reason why I called. Do you see that any more of the district of criminals along with the alphabet soup agencies to boot? So the tentacles are gone all over the place for that matter. It's absurd. And the Federal Reserve, that's why I'm looking forward. The Federal Reserve, the IRS, or Department of Revenue, whatever, and D.C. to all implode. I'm looking for that day. I'm watching for it.
I'm going to blow your socks off.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I'm going to blow your socks off.
Blow your socks off.
She's got to hear this. What's your name, ma'am?
Francis,
well, North Carolina.
Francis, you knew so much. I'm going to give you something fun. I wasn't going to get into this today, but since you brought this up, I'm going to give you some names, and I'm going to tell you all these people that were a part of the Michigan Governor Whitmer thing in Bundy Ranch. So here you go. D'Antuono was part of the Michigan Governor Whitmer nonsense. He was the FBI field director there in Michigan. And D'Antuono actually was part of, guess what? None other than he was a financial analyst working in the 9/11 scenario before that. Now, hang on. Now, these are all facts. Go look them up. Check your own work here. Check my work.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Cantaloupe, that testified before the select committee, also testified against the people at Bundy Ranch, an FBI informant. Daniel P. Love, the Bureau of Land Management idiot that ran that whole flawed unit investigation, and then the militarized action that they tried to use on taking the cattle. Dan P. Love had a suicide list, got people committed suicide. Guess where he was? He was positively identified by Pete Santilli removing the outer barriers on January 6th. There is so many people that are involved in all these other events. The same coroner from George Floyd is the one that told you that Roseanne Boylan had an amphetamine overdose, the same one that was overruled but then said that it was a strangulation. These people, I'm telling you, this isn't a conspiracy.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
The court records.
Well, yeah.
That's right. Here's what's invited. Your checkbook's invited. You're not invited. And guess what? Your pound of flesh is invited, because if you don't come on invitation, they'll come take it from you. And that's the world you live in today with your three-letter agents.
And not just that, but
all right, I got to let you go. Francis, I got to let you go. I got more callers on the line, honey, but I appreciate that. And thank you guys for letting me talk now, okay?
Y'all have a great week.
Come find me at Condemned USA. We'll talk.
Okay. Condemned USA. Francis, did you hear that? Condemned USA. That's his website.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
All right. I got to move on. Let's... Thanks, Francis. Let's move on. We got to go to Pat in Fort Worth. Pat, thanks for holding your own with Michael and Trentis. What's on your mind? Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Well, I knew that was a setup. That whole thing was a setup. They already planned how they were going to impeach Trump over that insurrection thing. It was already planned. And when nobody shot anybody, everything went wrong and they went crazy. Because they thought it was just a surefire thing. And I remember his defense. Was he went out there, you know, he got Maxine Waters out there in California telling everybody on the Rodney King thing, get out there, show your ire, you know, show your ire. They couldn't find Trump saying anything like that, but his lawyers, they brought up one after another saying that kind of crap, you know. So
Cory Booker, Maxine Waters, yep, Nancy Pelosi, get up in their face, yep, tell them they're not welcome, oh yeah.
Yeah. So
you're in the head. On a Brian Sicknick topic, real quick, on Brian Sicknick, they impeached President Trump based on the idea that Brian Sicknick was bludgeoned to death by a fire extinguisher. The coroner's report, long after the impeachment came back, to say he was never struck by anything. There was no physical damage to him. Brian Sicknick died of a stroke the following day. Not only did Brian Sicknick die of a stroke, but we have the eyewitnesses and the video accounts of the eyewitnesses on the ground that day taking Brian Sicknick, patriots, not police, back to the police line saying, hey, after he wandered out into the crowd and looked distraught, said, this man may be having a stroke. I'm a medic. Let me render him aid. Tried to bring him to the police line, and the man was told to mind his business, and that is none other than a man named Christopher Albert. So... look, folks, this is deep, and it's ugly, and it's just going to keep coming, and they've only got one-third of what they're after. But I'm sorry, Pat, but that's the Brian Sicknick story, so keep going, please.
Well, you know the guy with the horns? He was mimicking a cartoon character who's always storming the castle and losing. I don't know if y'all know about that.
Hagar the Horrible.
Yeah.
Was that Hagar the Horrible?
Hagar the Horrible, you're right.
Yeah.
But another thing is that your Christians, you know, I can tell this by, you know, your prayer and all that. And the Bible says, somewhere, I don't have it right, this, it says God said to remind him of his word, okay? In the middle of Isaiah somewhere, Isaiah 40, I'm sorry, it says the judges, they shall not stand, they shall not be planted. So when you go to court, just keep reminding the Lord of his word. The judges can't rule against you.
Well, you know, I put anointing oil on my feet around my shoes when I went in there, and I claimed that land for the Lord. My attorney looked over and says, what are you doing? I was on my knee praying, and he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm claiming this land for the Lord. You'll see everything's going to be just fine. Watch this. They were trying to put me away for a while, and I only ended up with the 20 days of intermittent confinement. And I attribute that largely to prayer and largely to, I literally, it's on the record. You can go back and read it. I went to the judge with the Pharaoh, do your worst mentality. Of, I told her, I was very honest, out of respectfully for the court. I told her I respect the court and the institution for which it stands, but what's happening here is a travesty of justice, what's happened to so many of these people. And then you guys do what you want, and you can do what you want to me. It doesn't matter if you give me 10 years right here today. Nothing you say or do will silence me or change my action.
There you go. Caleb in the Bible, who went in with Joshua to take the promised land, the only two that really believed it, he wasn't really a Jew, that my understanding, but God told him he could have all the land he walked over. And so, you know, anyway, I just thought I'd tell you about that scripture about the judges. They shall not stand, they shall not be planted. And just go for it. And if you have to get all of this, if you hadn't gone through all this, you couldn't be telling us how it was. See?
Well, I don't know that we call it. Look, in that environment, I'll call it a win that I got a short sentence. But there's a lot more to my case. Like I said, we're working on getting this unsealed. But I'm going to be able to prove to the American people that the government withheld key information and evidence, not about what happened on January 6th, what happened after January 6th, and how they lied to the court and got caught. That's coming. Congress knows about it. I'm looking at an email today from a prosecutor that wants to figure out how to get this unsealed and work it out. Oh, we're going to work it out. It's called a bar complaint and the end of your license.
Like Michael said, McCarthy's turning it all over, all of the video and everything. I mean, you could just look at the video of people coming up the stairs, you know, and being told, come on, come on, you know. And then they'll start showing it all over, and then they'll show, like, you went all over this. No, you didn't. It'd show the same little clip over and over. But people don't pay attention, see? So I think that's really good that McCarthy's done that.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. We got to move on, Pat. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. We got another caller on the line here, Trentis. Thank you so much for calling in. Let's go to James in Vancouver. Thanks for waiting. James, you're on with Trentis and Michael. Go ahead. What's on your mind, partner?
Yeah, good afternoon. In the old days, they called this entrapment. My two questions. Whatever happened to Ray Epps' baby? Is he still around, or did they...
Well,
is he,
let's talk about Ray Epps. Ray Epps is at the front of the breaches multiple times over, and then he's whisked away by what many people are concepting as handlers. I can't speak to say for sure if those people are handlers or not. You give me the same technology the FBI gets to use against us, and we'll show you. We can verify for you then the amount of foreign agents and actors from other countries' intel sources that were present on the ground that day. Mark my words, that's been confirmed by high-level military individuals that I've worked with around the country that have worked with these people overseas and have recognized them in videos, some of the people we've labeled as suspicious and curious about. So it's very interesting that we have foreign intel assets on the ground January 6th doing what? Agitating. But the best thing, the best reference you need for Ray Epps, for the American people to ask a question about him, is Jamie Raskin. You think about the Select Committee and what they've done. The Benny Thompson, Jamie Raskin, Stephanie Murphy, Pete Aguilar, Liz Cheney, Zoe Loughner, Adam Schiff, Lane Laura. Those people, they wanted blood and pounds of flesh from everybody that was anywhere near January 6th or even an idea holder for attending it. That's what they wanted. Re-education camps, they've talked about this stuff. And Jamie Raskin actually stands up and says, Leave that poor Mr. Ray Epps alone. He didn't do anything. His name's being drugged through the mud. I'm like, what? But the best part, that's not the best. I saved the best for last. Ted Cruz, an experienced, very excellent trial attorney that has done this for a decade, right? Trial attorney, congressional investigator, cross-examiner, chieftain. He asked a very narrow question about Mr. Epps to the FBI, says, did Ray Epps ever work for the FBI? Now, that's not the question of an experienced trial attorney. I was screaming at the TV, as well as anyone else that has any legal knowledge in their little finger around the country, were screaming at their TVs watching that, going, what the hell kind of question was that? The question is, has Mr. Epps ever received monies from a government or government-funded operation, and were any of those agents or agencies involved in January 6th? That's the question. That's how you ask that question. And then you start to drill down to the narrow focus, but that's not what happened. So anyway, back to your guest. Sorry.
Could I ask one more question? Is it true that people were incarcerated who never went into the Capitol? They were just hanging around, walking around it?
Yes.
Were they locked up?
Yes.
They were.
Billy Griffin was outside on the steps praying. Yes. And he went to prison. Yeah. He was held in a solitary confinement for 14 days, lost his job in New Mexico, and is still being challenged and chased around on this. Enrique Tarrio wasn't there, present inside. Enrique Tarrio's on trial for seditious conspiracy. You have Stuart Rhodes was not inside the Capitol, was in his hotel room taking a nap.
Right.
These are the people that are in prison. They've been held for years.
Okay, thank you. I'll let you go. Thanks. Thank you. Bye now.
Thanks, James. All right, moving right along. I'll just introduce these people and let you go ahead and wrap, Trinus. So let's go to Pam in Minnesota. Pam, you're on with Michael and Trinus. What's your question? What's on your mind, girl? Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. If I am not mistaken, are they getting away with this, keeping people in their little gulag there, because D.C. is not one of the states? They are like their separate entity?
They're getting away with doing what they want because they have the judges, they have the police force. Yes, they're absolutely getting away with this. And it's the most corrupt. When they said swamp, when Trump told us it was a swamp, and reiterated that we already knew, yes, that's the answer to your question, emphatically, absolutely, and furiously, yes.
Okay. And I just wanted to make one more comment. I know John Stantmiller was there, and forgive me, but I think the feds took him out. I know they've been kind of hanging around and trying to figure a way to get him for a while, and I think they took him out. Just my opinion.
Well, I don't know that. Pam, I don't know how that's possible, because he died of an aneurysm, an aortic aneurysm in his abdomen. So I don't know how they could pull that off. I don't know.
I can't speak to that, but
go ahead.
Let me add to your original question. Not only are they getting away with that, it's a deprivation of one's civil rights. Prisoners have civil rights. We have the Geneva Convention, the Nuremberg Trials. All of these things have rulings on these. Solitary confinement under the Nuremberg Trials of more than 60 days was ruled to be inhumane. At Geneva, they decided 30 days. Now, it's since been relegated by the UN to 14 days. The United States is currently holding people. People have done solitary confinement for a year or more of some of this two-year incarceration. Not only that, but they were denied religious visits. They were denied in-person visitation by their families. And if it wasn't wrong, then how come right after the new Congress in January that they changed it? They stopped doing what they were doing because they knew this new Congress had taken a seat and was not going to put up with this and was looking into it. People have credited Troy Nehls with being one of the people that had something to do with that massive change. I'll give Troy Nehls some credit in that. But let me ask you, where were these people for 2 years? They were in office in the previous Congress, and what were they doing for it? So, I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene went to the jail. Louie Gohmert was probably the biggest proponent of getting something done and having some real justice done on this. He actually left Congress with a bill saying that people who commit a crime in Washington, D.C., because of the hyperbolic nature and the corruption and all that's going on there and the swampiness of it all, that those people should be allowed to go home and be tried in their home state, because D.C. is just a simple district versus a state. And they have yet to do anything about that bill. So Louie Gohmert left that bill with Congress, and it sits there on the floor waiting for someone to carry that torch.
Wow. Wow.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Working with Louie's office.
He's a great man.
Pardon me?
I was working with Louie's office. He's a great man. One of the things that Louie says is God says, you know, he doesn't expect you to lean on the shovel and pray for a hole. That's why people have to get engaged. You got to write the letters. You got to make the phone calls. You got to go visit your congressman. Go visit your senator. Call your attorney general. Call your governor. And keep calling them. Don't call once. Keep calling them. Keep telling them what you think. Call them once a week.
Well,
5 minutes out. Send them a letter. Get involved.
Just for you, Mike, I just want you to know I had an incident a little over a week ago, and I had been sitting on my citizenship evidence after this incident with a sheriff. I was so humiliated, I sent my paperwork in. I went and got it validated and sent it in, and I'm hot now. I am hot now.
God bless you, Pam. Welcome to the club. All right.
As long as we continue to volunteer to be 14th Amendment citizens, we're screwed. And we're getting more and more screwed every day. We are so under attack. Our whole country is under attack. We can't sit on the fence anymore. You're absolutely right. Thank you for taking my call, guys. Have a great night.
You're welcome. All right, we've got another caller on the line for us. You ready? You ready? You all prepared? Okay. I'm going to sit back and relax. Go to Joel in Wisconsin. Joel, you're on with Trentis. Go ahead. I'll just take a nap.
Okay.
Joel in Wisconsin.
You and your guest,
go ahead.
You and your guest, is it beyond the scope of this government to fake something, to fool the American masses?
Is it beyond the scope of the government to fake something? Absolutely not.
Yeah,
of course not.
An incident. No, of course not. So, based on it, when the caller calls up and says he doesn't think that Ashley Babbitt was shot, and according to what he can see, that's what it looks like. Well, that's not beyond the scope of the American of this government. So when your guest brings up emotion, maybe this guy should back off because there may be an alleged grieving mother. That, and so then you shouldn't pursue this. Because now, if there really is a grieving mother, let's say there really is, and she just lost her daughter, that would be more grief than anybody doubting it. So that's got nothing to do with anything, as far as I'm concerned. Besides, emotion should not be brought into it. Emotion.
Well, I think he was also. Joel, hold on. Hold on. I think Trentis also introduced forensic evidence, okay, along with the videos, along with the ricochet off of the table. So, and by the way, you did not hear me tell Mark he was wrong. You didn't hear that. I didn't say that, okay?
No, I'm not accusing you of that.
Make your point. Okay. Go ahead.
I didn't accuse you of anybody saying he was wrong. I'm just saying
Make your point. Go ahead.
Your guest used emotion to back off someone pursuing the truth. All the guy wants to know is what the truth is. And you know, when you know you're dealing with liars, known fact that we're dealing with liars, and there's nothing really yet you can't put past them, that I think that your guest is giving himself away. I don't trust the guy at all. There, I'll go around on the record.
Don't trust me.
I don't trust your guest bit. I think he's government.
Okay. Do you? Okay.
That?
Well, as you're spending time in federal prison over that, go ahead, Trentis. Interject.
Look, I respect the man's opinion. He absolutely has a right to his opinion. And my point is, that's my position, how I feel personally about this, because of what I've seen. Okay? I've seen more evidence than, unless they release the 14,000 hours, than you're ever going to see. So I'm hoping that happens, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think I don't think that Fox News is our friend. I don't think that Tucker's people are going to do the right thing. I think that that's controlled opposition, and they're going to, if you know anything about who owns Fox and what happens there, I don't think that that's going to come out, and we're going to dump it all out. I'm the one pushing for, in Congress, up there. I spent over a week of my time there just last week, all day, working with people there, to get this information released to the public so you can make your own decisions on this stuff. I want you to see what I've seen. I want you to have the disgust for this, what's happened in our government. I think that their biggest fear is that the people actually get this, the whole thing's going to come unraveled, because this one will just be one too many on there. So I appreciate, look, I'm skeptical of everyone and everything. This is a very trying time. I've had people call out General Flynn. I've had people call out Clay Clark. I've had people call out Laura Logan. All of the people I work with, all of the people I respect, all the people I know. And I think everybody
get,
with
this. How did you get privy what? To this? How did you get privy to this information, the videos that,
because
that
I have
we haven't seen?
I have a legal advocacy, I told you, and I've represented
our legal advocacy has represented over 50 January 6th defendants' interests. So we have access to the discovery, which is that footage.
So what you say you saw, if that never comes out, we'll just have to take your word for it, won't we?
I told you where you can go see some of it right now. Gary McBride, M5 News, M5News.com. Go watch some of the videos. There's some news channel that's leaked some of this, and Gary McBride's covered it. I don't know where he got it, but I do know that some of this is out there. So watch these videos. Go check these guys out. Go Tommy Tatum, Gary McBride. Gateway Pundit's covered a lot of stuff. I mean, the amount of leaks that have come out. You've had so many informants or confidential human sources or members of the FBI that are involved in so many aspects of this from top to bottom. I agree with you guys. It's another setup. My friend, like, you don't know me, and if you want to think I'm the government, that's great. I will tell you this. The last part, that the last people, I would be a part of my government, the people that I believe in, the constitutional side of my government, the kind of government where people that fought and died in our seas and beaches and airs and on our lands and other foreign soil, that kind of government, I'm 100% behind, and I lay down my life in support. Because I have children, and I want them to grow up with the opportunity that have been preserved here in the constitutional freedoms for generations and generations, decades and upon centuries. That I support. And I think probably because of what you're saying, I would rather suspect that that probably fits you as well. So my perspective on this is that those are the people that I would support. These people that run around talking about democracy and people are enemy of democracy, you're damn right I'm an enemy of democracy. We're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic, a representative government, and I'm going to stay an enemy of democracy.
Well, like you said, I don't know you, but from listening to you, I think you have all the characteristics of a well-tuned government agent. That's my opinion. That is
thanks for the call, Joel. Got to run, man. Running
thank
out of time.
Appreciate your thought.
Yes. Okay, listen, we're getting short on time. The phone lines are still loaded. I'm going to take two more phone calls. Phone lines are closed. I'll take Misty second, and let's go to Fred in Iowa. First, Fred, you're on with Michael and Trennis. How are you, sir? Go ahead.
Yes, Trennis, you got it accurate. Controlled opposition. There was two callers that called in, and especially the last one. Michael, you know, my feelings about you is very commendable. This man, Trennis, is so important to our country that I can't express it in words. Thank you. Trennis, God bless you. If you die, you're going, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Bye. Thank you.
All right.
Well, that was interesting.
Thank you for that. I just, look, if I die, we'll all know that I'm right. If something weird happens to me, let's be clear. I'm not suicidal. I'm not jumping off any balconies. I'm not going to do any drug overdoses. If I die in some strange death or I get shot in the back of the head in a mugging, as cautious as I am, that would be very odd. So just remember this. If I died, you guys just wonder, but go back and wonder just how right I might have been.
Thank you for that. Let's go to Misty in Kansas. Misty, you're on with Michael and Trennis. How are you? Go ahead. What's on your mind, girl?
Saying when you were swatted, basically, FBI, who was that?
That's the domestic homeland.
When you were...
Yeah, I can tell you. That's the Joint Terrorism Task Force. So that was the FBI, mm-hmm. Department of Homeland Security, sometimes members of DEA or ATF. It can be numerous members. It can be federal, state, local police, SWAT teams, and they work
you
in a joint terrorism task force.
On my website,
you can watch the video of a 13-year-old with his hands up on his way out the door to school in front of the SWAT team.
Oh, wow.
That's on my video. It's in BloodyHill.com in our documentary.
You also made a statement that down the road you have Secret Service that has a neighborhood. or do I need
there's a retired to listen to the archive that lives down the street?
So you didn't, he didn't tell you that was coming? Got a bunch of babies there? Wow. Bye. Well, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, okay, thank you. Well, listen, we're starting to run short on time. Your website, Trinus, is condemnedusa.com. Now, did I hear you correctly that some of this, when you were hit by the Joint Terrorism Task Force and so forth, some of it was recorded? You have a recording of your son at gunpoint? Is that right?
I have them on my Ring camera. Yes, the whole incident, it's recorded. You can see the SWAT team taking over my house. Yes. On my video, it's on
okay.
my website.
Okay. Well, you know, listen, I want to tell you, I mean, it's been an absolute adventure having you on my program because, you know, for the first time, I've been silenced. And, you know, you might want to think about getting your own show. But, you know, as we close this off, I want your final thoughts
here. Well, maybe we can need a vacation, Mike.
Maybe I should have you sub-hosting for me from time to time. I don't know. You certainly have the gift of gab for it, and you know you're as passionate as you can be. But in closing thoughts on this, what do you want this audience to know that you know from your experience, from what you're covering right now, from what you're getting into, where they can donate if they want to? I mean, just you know, close this out with some thoughts to the audience about where you're at, where you want this to go. What's going on at the time, and you know, let's let you have the floor. Go ahead.
Thank you. So, Mike, one thing. Look, I've never denied that there are people that committed acts of criminal acts. They need to go to jail for the acts that they committed, for reasonable times, reasonable crime, reasonable equity of justice, et cetera. Okay, I've never denied that, but let's be very clear. I don't support people harming police or damaging buildings or tearing up government property. That's not how we get to the bottom of our solution. Protest and demonstration, sure. First Amendment right of redress, sure. And the idea that everyone there knew that they were breaking the law by what they were doing going in. You think all these women and children and grandmothers walking around with their cell phone need to go to prison? I believe that you're a sick individual. There's something really wrong with you when you can't recognize the fact. But at any rate, so as far as that, Condemned USA is the organization. We're representing a lot of different people where we have fundraisers running for some of these people where you can go on there. You don't have to give to our organization. Go give to them. We have fundraisers running for some of these people that are going through this. I have 18-year-old children. Children that were 18 at the time. They're now 20 that are going through this, facing years in prison for simply being in the building. They're making up stuff. They're saying, you know, I have a guy that literally grazes the arm of an officer by wagging his finger at somebody else and inadvertently touches an officer, and they're calling it an assault. Luke Coffey put that crutch up against the shield, telling them, stop, pray. He's asking people to pray and trying to stop them from beating
30 seconds, buddy.
So they can get Roseanne Boylan out. And he's going to, they've got, those are assaults. I mean, this is insanity. Come watch BloodyHill.com. Watch, you can come to CondemnedUSA.com. Follow us on socials, Trinus at CondemnedUSA.com. Getter, Truth, Gab, what have you. We're all there, and help us out. We have lawyer fees. We have houses we're paying for in D.C. for people. We need your help. Thank you so much.
Scott, thank you for coming on. We'll see you same time, same station next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.